These events involving Salman.
I
interviewed him several years ago. He was at the...
Which book?
The Penn... No, it wasn't...
For Jaguar Smile?
No, it was on the occasion of the Penn International Congress.
Penn, of course.
Which was about 84, 85.
Yeah, where he made it his impassioned defense of Günter Grass. I think that was the hallmark of his...
Everybody was impassioned at that conference, so... I figured I would be seeing him again, but that has not to be. But as you're now taking a tour, are the events dealing with the Ayatollah and Salman Rushdie overwhelming you at all? Or are you able to spend time to be able to talk about your work, indeed?
Yes, I mean, clearly I am, but also because I'm realistic. I know that there is an enormous amount of curiosity about the events in the last year. If I had done this tour last year when I was scheduled to do so, I would have had maybe one or two questions about my private life. I think there probably would have been a curiosity in Salman and me, owing to the fact that my tour for John Dollar coincided with the planned tour that he was going to make for Satanic Verses. We were being brought over by our American publishers during the same 2 weeks, and actually we were going to read together at Lincoln Center in New York, and we were going to read together again at... William Kennedy's Institute in Albany and somewhere in California. But both Viking Penguin, who were the publishers of Satanic Verses, and Harper and Row, who published John Dollar, were aware that we didn't want to just be, you know, a husband and wife team, because it would have trivialized both books. People would have been more curious about, is there professional rivalry, and silly questions like that. But the questions that we were getting then, you know, from advanced sort of questions from the United States were simple questions of what is it like to live with another writer? How did the two of you work in the same house? You know, sort of domestic questions which you ask a writer.
Those are terrific questions.
They're wonderful questions, which I, you know, quite freely would have...
You have to take turns using the typewriter?
Yeah, sure. And I write longhand.
Do you really?
Yeah, so, but now... So to fully answer your question, that last year under, let's call them normal conditions, of course I would have had one or two questions about, you know, daily life. Now I get, for every 10 questions, of course, you know, I'm being treated very sensitively and really welcomed back wonderfully here in the United States, because people are hesitant to pry, but nevertheless, and I don't want to be over secretive, because I do know there's a curiosity about it, and it would be naive on my part not to recognize that.
Well, why did you feel that you had to cancel your tour?
I didn't. Harper and Row did.
For safety purposes?
I think, I really don't think anybody knew what was going to happen. And I'm very...
Certainly you would not have been in jeopardy, especially.
Well, I'm very grateful that... I'll tell you what would... I'm very grateful that they did cancel, because it would have been a circus, because it would have been... 15 questions for everyone about John Dollar.
Yeah.
It would have been, how do you feel? What is going to happen? And furthermore, there's an added reason for me. I was very hurt at the time because I did want to come. I was so impassionately furious and angry. I did want to come and do the tour. But at that point, if I had come out of secure surroundings, I wouldn't have been able to get back in, as I can't get back in now. So it was rather good thing that I didn't. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been able to be together.
What do you mean you can't get back in now?
I can't. Salman is being protected by the highest security of the British government, which doesn't have a revolving door. You know, they don't say, oh, you want to stay for 6 months and now you want to leave for 5 months and now you want to come back. Absolutely not. I mean, the decision to lead separate lives is irrevocable until his situation changes, until he is able to live more freely.
So that was just too restrictive on your own movements and things that you needed to do. Is that correct?
It's not on my movements, on my imagination. You know, the way that I define my life is first through the people I love, and second through the work that I love. I'm a writer, you know, through and through. All of my responses to life are integrated with my writer's sense, my sense of observation, what I cherish. My heightened awareness of human foibles and motives, etc., go into my work. And we were living in extreme isolation, and the isolation would eventually form or deform our work. As it is, the situation under which he is living is his brief. It's not mine. And we respected each other's work too much to have mine affected by that. Now, I mean, I have, since this very difficult and painful decision to lead a separate life, I've been able to come here to celebrate my own work, to celebrate my book, which is a part of an author's life.
Or as William Kennedy says, give the book its due.
Book, yeah.
That's the way he phrases it. But I would imagine that this crisis involving your husband just was so much of a preoccupation for you that it would make it almost impossible to function normally as a writer.
Yes. I mean, it clearly, at the time that it was happening, it was all that we could think and be aware of. But both of us continued to write through the last year. I've completed a new collection of short stories, which Harper and Row are publishing next winter, called Learning Urdu.
I hope you'll be back for that.
That's where they're doing it next winter. They only bring you across the big pond once a year, so they know exactly what they're doing. Yes, I will be. I look forward to it.
Well, can you tell me a little bit about, without prying, what it was like after the Ayatollah's threat and both you?
It's
and
not a threat. It's a sentence.
A sentence, right? Well, it's all right. But you and your husband both had to go into hiding. And what happened exactly? What did you have to do? How did it work?
That's classified material. As I said before, only a few people in Great Britain know where he is. Thatcher doesn't know where he is. It's highly, highly, highly guarded secret.
But I mean, in general, I mean, you had to leave your home? I know that.
Yes.
I think I saw a photograph of you at one point going back to the house to get some possession.
Yes, I had gone back with and if you saw the photograph, you saw that it was under police guard and 70,000 members of the press. And that was solely because, you know, you've got to turn off the gas, you've got to turn off the electricity, you've got to get shoes and coats and things that you need for the long winter, and you've got to get pictures of your children. You've got to get the unfinished manuscripts that were left, you know, beside the bed, and in his case, even in his typewriter. And so I went in under guard and spent about 3-4 hours in the house doing what you do before you go on a vacation, so to speak, you know, just making sure the windows are bolted and the taps are off. That was the last time I was there.
But how could you do some basic things like go to the bank and, you know, get laundry done and things?
You don't.
Like that.
The basic thing becomes staying alive. What are you going to spend your money on anyway? You know, thank you for that very sweet question. But suddenly your expenses are cut, you know, to minimum.
Well, how do you get your mail, or how did you get your mail? I'm not trying to ask.
Well,
now,
you see, that's a specific question which I can't say.
Right.
You know, but it's to the credit of the British government that they have cared very much about his spiritual life, about his inner life, about keeping him very much the person that he is, and that those who knew him loved, and that means not cutting him off from all human contact. I'm not a British subject. I'm an American citizen. I was never threatened. I was not under threat. And it's a credit to the British government that permitted me to be with him. And it did save both our lives. I know for the sake of morale and for the sake of both of our sanities, if we had been separated during that time, I think we both probably would have had a nervous breakdown. But the fact that we were allowed to, that they permitted me to stay with him was wonderful. And they have found ways to make sure that mail can come to him through intermediaries. Mm-hmm. If somebody wants to write to Salman Rushdie, they can write in care of Special Branch. It's very easy, you know, very easy. And he's got the government as his personal, you know, postman pat.
But your decision to now live apart, I can understand that professionally, well, that's important. But doesn't that make it difficult for him? You said that being cut off from human contact would be nerve-wracking, and that has happened to him. And I've read someplace that where it was said that even you don't know exactly where he is.
I have no idea where he is. I mean, not only did you read it, I just said the Prime Minister doesn't know where he is. I mean, that's clearly what's keeping him alive, is the secrecy that surrounds, you know, his existence. I can't answer for Salman. I can't tell you how lonely he is. I can only say that it was a difficult and painful decision for both of us, and that it is nothing that can be judged in ordinary terms. This is a situation that's not the same as the Trumps splitting up. This is extraordinary circumstances. I'm just speechless. And this is somebody who usually has a fund of words to answer.
Do you think it would ever have been a possibility to go to another country?
I think that, if there's if another country is willing to offer him a false passport or whatever is needed. I don't read spy novels.
Why would he need a false passport? If I had been the president of the United States, I would have said Salman Rushdie would be invited to this country under the full protection
of the American
government.
You've got my vote.
And the Secret Service would be like the British Secret Service.
But we don't live in ideal societies. And I mean, clearly that's why I wrote John Dollar. And these are wishes and hopes beyond my control. I wish the same thing for him as well. It's not anything that it was within my power to grant him, or else I would have done so.